Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Vulnerable, yet carefree.
And here's Gascoigne. Brilliant play! Oh! Take a bow! That's unbelievable!
Mercurial, but troubled.
Oh dear me. He's going to be out of the final. And here is a moment that almost brings tears to his eyes.
Maverick, a genius.
Here's Gascoigne now. Can he produce some magic?
Oh yes! A tremendous goal by Gascoigne!
The crackerjack of British football and a mate who has never, ever, ever provided a dull moment in over 25 years.
I scored my penalty. Gareth Southgate missed his. I've ended up in rehab. He's ended up in the Manager of England and done a 20 grand pizza advert. What did I do wrong?
I'm Ali McCoist, a reasonable player in my own right. But from 95 to 98, I had the pleasure and the privilege of calling the most talented footballer of his own generation a teammate. Through thick and thin, he remains one of my closest pals, Paul Gascoigne. This is Gazza and McCoist, together again. Gaz, magic to see you, pal. Absolutely delighted to see you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good now that I'm back. Everything's good. I feel good.
I tell everybody's story, man. Honestly, it's one of my favourites. Met you in Vegas, right? You were near holiday, and Walter was there. He says, right, come on, he says, we're meeting Paul tomorrow, we're meeting Gaz tomorrow in the hotel. We're going to have a bit of lunch, a bit of brunch, right? I says, that sounds great. That sounds magic. So we're staying in Caesar Palace. We're certainly having brunch in Caesar Palace. And I got a hold of you beforehand. I said, I'll meet you a bit earlier. And I remember walking down into the place in Caesar's Palace, Gaz. You're sitting at the bar and you've got two big cocktails, right? One for yourself and one for me coming down. I swear to God, I could have dived in my cocktail, right? The thing was about that size, right? You're sitting with two bowls of chicken wings and you're sitting underneath the telly. The horse racing's on, the American football's on, you name it, the golf's on. And I took one look at you and I thought, I think we're going to get on just fine.
My good pal once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
I'm going to take you all the way back to Newcastle, mate. Can you remember what it was like signing, the day you signed for the tune? What was it like? Tell me about it.
I mean, the day of signing for it, when I knew I was going to be at Newcastle, mate, when I left school. But I remember the time when I had to sign, I had to get one of my parents there to sign as well. And at that time, my mum and dad weren't speaking. So I'm sitting in there with the manager and the chairman. And my mum went, yeah, I'll sign that. My dad walked in, he went, I'll sign that. That's my son. Oh, the two of them are effing and blame. You, where you been all his life? Oh, I went, just sign this for him, please. So I signed it. And then I used to be his apprentice because you're watching like Kevin Keegan, Terry McDermott, Peter Beasley, Chris Waddle. And I'm thinking, one day I'm going to join them. And fortunate for me, I mean, he didn't really play as when I was an apprentice. And he said, you're putting too much weight. And Jack Johnson says, yeah, you're a good player. I says, I am. He went, how long you got left for your contract? I went, 2 years. I was like, 2 years? He went, you got 2 weeks, you fat bastard. You better start training. So I had to bin the minstrels, the fish and chips. And within a month, I was like captain of the youth team, won the youth cup, captain of the reserves. And then I was ready to play for the first team just under 17 years of age.
At what point, mate, did you think yourself, I mean, clearly people would have said to you this, that, and the next thing, but at what point did you realise yourself that you had something a wee bit special, something a wee bit different?
The first game we played was Liverpool. I got 10 out of 10, and I just thought I was playing in the park, you know, young and that. And then the next game was Man United. And I thought, right, I've got to play well, yeah, because I've got Brian Robson, He was my hero, idol. I'm up against him. He scored a penalty against us, Brian Robson, and he walked past us. I went, great penalty, Brian. He just looked at me as he went, you effing nugget. I went, oh, okay. Because I used to get the bus with the fans to the match. I used to pay 10 pence, 5 pence transfer there and back. And I was like, sitting on the bus with these fans, I think, neither, no, I'm playing in about 1 hour's time and not. And then getting the bus afterwards. And I was one game out, didn't play well. I'm getting on the bus with him. And one, I hear one guy on the bus says, are you him? I went, who's him? He went, you've just been playing. I went, yeah. He went, you played crap. He said, next time you play like that, never get on this bus again. So I made sure I was going to play all right the next game. And I think the fourth game was Tottenham and I scored 2 goals. And I thought, right then. But what was good, Coyce, is when I played for the first team, when we got back in the training ground, the coach used to make us play with the youth team again, train with them and not the first team. He says, you're not going to become one of these big-headed stars. But I remember going back home and I'd got three Liverpool man match, 10 out of 10, Man United, Spurs, 2 games. And I went back in the house and I says, Dad, when are you going to come watch us play when you've made it? And I thought, God, what have I got to do to make it then? I went, okay, then. She says, just remember where you effing come from. So I've always stuck by that. But I just had so much confidence and I wasn't bothered who I was playing against. And I just thought maybe just play your own game and that. And as long as if I had a bad game, as long as I worked hard for the team, like, you know. My dream, Coyce, was like you, obviously, when you were at Sunderland, was to score at the Fulwell end or whatever. And mine was to score the Gallagher. And once I first did that, I thought, right, then I've sort of like made it, yeah.
Did you feel any added pressure because it was the club you loved as a kid and grew up in that area? Did you feel any added pressure or did you just... Knowing what you're like, a lot of people would automatically think you just absolutely thrived on it.
I think that, you know, people say it's brilliant. I mean, probably more yourself more than me because you're a striker and scored loads of goals. But if I played well and I scored a goal, I put myself under pressure thinking, right, next game I've got to play even better and score two. Well, that really wasn't my job. Like, just it was to set up players and that. But I think in England more than anywhere else, it was always lovely becoming famous. But once you're going famous and playing well, everyone recognise you. The only place to go is back down. But I think with it being my hometown and only 17 and a half years of age and everywhere I went then, I was recognised, you know. Every time, the lads went nightclub and I felt like that was hard. So after every game, I used to go back to the working men's club and my dad and sit with all the blokes and every game of snooker and pool. And I tried to stay grounded, but it was hard when you played well and you're playing for a club that you loved growing up. I mean, when I lived... I must have lived about 8 miles, 10 miles from the ground or something. And when I was young playing football, I could hear the Gallagher then singing. And I thought, wow. Obviously, I remember being a ball boy, a couple of games for the reserves. And then just watching the crowd there. And I'm thinking, God, one day I could play, yeah. It was in my mind, I always wanted to play for Newcastle. But my dream was to score the Gallagher, which I eventually did, like, you know. But the pressure prize, I just thought, I'm only young because... A lot of players come into the prime when they're 23 to 27 and that. And I just thought, you know, when you're playing with the likes of Glenn Rhoda, God bless him, he's not with us anymore, but I was fortunate to play with like Chris Waddle and Peter Beards in the same team. And I had Glenn Rhoda behind us, always taunting us all the time, come on, get the ball, you're playing well. Even if I wasn't, he would keep on saying, you're playing well and you're playing well. But I think the first season, well, it wasn't too bad because they didn't really know us. But the second season, I think that's time to try and put pressure on myself because I had such a good first season and that's when I started really getting marked man-to-man in that.
Taking all that in, guys, you'd naturally think the next step would be moving to another club, which you did do. What options did you have when you left Newcastle? And I'm guessing, knowing the love you have for the club, it wouldn't have been that easy a decision to leave.
No, I didn't. I didn't want to leave. I had no choice. Jack John says, I heard you want to leave. I says, I might want to. He says, well, you're going to sign this piece of paper, 4-year contract. And I panicked because he's, you know, Jack John has signed it. I thought, well, that's me, yeah, for another 4 years. So I remember going home and I said, Dad, I've just signed it for you. He went, ah, it's all right. You know, there's plenty of time left. And then the phone went and it was Kenny Dalglish. So I looked at my dad and I went, Dad, Kenny Dalglish. And my dad went, money, son. So I spoke to Kenny Dalglish. I put the phone down and my dad said, what do you see? I went, Dad, I did not understand an effing word he said. So I think that deal went out the window. But Newcastle wanted 2.2 million for us. Liverpool were only going to pay 2 million because they were signing Rush back from Juventus. So Kenny Dalglish says, can you wait another year? I said, I don't know if I can. I said, we've just sold Bruce Worrell, we've just sold Peter Beasley. I mean, I played really well, keep up there on the first division at that time. And so my dad went, just keep on playing well. Then it was Sir Alex Ferguson. So I looked at my dad and my dad, Sir Alex Ferguson. He went, I told you, son. My dad went, I had two hands, money. So I spoke to him. I says, yeah, I'm definitely going to sign. So he went, so I'm going on holiday, and when I come back, you're saying, but Man United, you'll be at Old Trafford. I went, yeah, definitely. So I'm like so excited. 2 days, Dad, I'm saying, but Man United, they're going to pay the 2.2. I'm definitely going. And he went, I told you, son. And then the phone went, and it was Spurs. So I says, hello. He says, there's Irvin Scholar, the chairman. So I says, hold on, Dad, Spurs. He went, he says, you're not signing for Spurs. He says, you're going to Man United. I says, oh, sorry, but I think I'm going to be going to Man United. He says, oh, well. He says, what we'll do is we'll buy your mum and dad a house. I went, oh, hold on. I says, Dad, I says, if I say to Spurs, we're going to buy your mum a house. He went, well, what the effing hell are you waiting for, son? And he went, okay. I says, I think I might be safe for you. And my dad went, tell him I need a car. I went, and my dad wants a car. He went, we'll give him one. So he says, I want a BMW. He says, and also I found the house. He hadn't even left the city. I went, Dad, you've not moved anywhere. I'll find one. Don't worry about that. Get the car. So as I'm driving there to Tottenham, I passed Old Trafford and I'm actually shaking. I said, he's going to go off it with me. Alex Ferguson. I mean, I was petrified. I thought. So I get to Spurs. I'm like a mile away and the phone goes, it's my sister. I said, what do you want? She went, well, my mum's getting a house. My dad's a car. I'm on a sunbed. So I think the deal was done on a sunbed, but you know, like when you sign for Spurs, you see, and you get fan mail. I'm getting fan mail by the dozens. I'm thinking, wow. And I got this big one. I thought, oh, I wonder who this is off. And I opened it up. It was off Sir Alex Ferguson. Oh, you stupid, fat bastard. He hammered it. See, when I can't believe it. He said, I had the choice to be manager of Barcelona, Madrid, all the top teams. He went, but I chose the biggest club in the world, Man United. It took him 6 years to speak to us again, like, you know.
And I've seen Sir Alex angry as well, by the way, and it ain't pretty. But do you have any regrets at all? Liverpool, Man United?
I mean, Spurs, the first season, I was like, oh, the pressure's on, the highest transfer, 2.2 million, whatever. And I thought, well, that's okay, because we sort of did better than Man United that season. And we still wasn't speaking of us. But the next year, when he's just started playing Beckham, Scholes, Butch, Sharpie, the one the lead by mail, and that's when I thought, wow, I could have been there. And then sometimes you do look back amount of stuff they've achieved with Charles Ferguson. But I'm like, when I went to Rangers with seeing news, how it was this one big family, and I think that's what Charles Ferguson had it in Man United when we had Alan Sugar. That's a sweetener. I remember he's become chairman. We've just signed Gordon Jury for 2.7 million. He's been at the club 6 hours. And Alan Sugar comes up to me and he went, I recognise you, you're Paul Gascoigne. I went, yeah. He went, who's he? Gordon Jury. We just signed him about 5 hours ago for 2.7 million or something. And oh, Gordon was fuming. There is times when I do think, oh, what would have been like if I was at Man United.
Brilliant stuff there from Gaz. This is Gaz and McCoist together again. And coming up, hear what Gazza had to say about playing for Sir Bobby Robson, England's near miss at Italia 90, the injury that almost defined his career. And don't worry, we'll be getting to Euro 96 and Rangers very, very soon. Listening to Gazza and McCoist together again. I'm Ali McCoist, and recently I sat down with my old teammate and great pal Paul Gascoigne to reflect on his career, and I can tell you he was in absolutely top form. Now, coming up, we'll discuss the injury that almost defined his career, but first, let's go back to 1990 as Gazza, on the cusp of his 23rd birthday, got named in the England squad for Italia 90, despite having never played a competitive international.
Sir Bobby Robson, Well, first of all, when he goes in the office, he says, I'm sorry, you've not made the under-21 squad. Now, I was so down, I went, oh, never mind. He went, but you made the full squad. I went, oh, wow. But going to the World Cup, you know, I was lucky because I was like just about 23. And Brian Robson, Chris Waddle, Peter Beardsley, the squad we had, Terry Butcher, all them were just in the prime. So I had nothing really to worry about. And, you know, I took it as if I was in a boys' club. I was playing tennis, table tennis. I was enjoying the sun. I didn't want to know who we were playing against or whatever. I just took it like a breath of fresh air, you know. I was loving every game. I was loving every minute. I felt so confident. I was fit as anything. I was having fun with the lads, and I remember Brian Robson saying, look, any of the challenges, I'm coming to my end of my career, any challenges, leave them to me. I don't want you getting injured because you're coming to, you're just starting with England. Any of the balls, I'll go for the headers, I'll take the cuts, the bruises for you. And I thought, well, what a guy to say that, the person he was, Captain Marvel. And I just fell at ease, and I just took every game as it came. I wasn't bothered. I didn't want to know who I was up against, nothing. And I just remember the time before the semi-final, and I said to Chris Waddle, it was 11 o'clock at night, I said, I'm going for a walk, I can't sleep. I've seen two guys playing tennis, 11 o'clock at night, I thought, I'm challenging these two. So I went, I play, and they went, where's your partner? I went, no, I'll take the two he's on. So I'm playing tennis, I'm sweating like a mad. And Gascoigne. I thought, oh shit, it's the gaffer. He went, what are you doing? I said, playing tennis. And I dropped the racket and ran. So I ran to the room and I went, Waddle. I says, listen, if anyone knocks at the door, just tell them I'm sleeping, I'm tired. He went, yeah, no problem, guys. And 5 minutes later, like smashing on the door, it's Bobby Robson, the manager. He says, where is he? He went, he's sleeping. He went, sleeping? I've just seen him playing tennis for half an hour. And Chris Waddle looked at me, he went, have you? I went, shh. The next day, I'm hiding from Sir Bobby Robson. He catches 11 calls, remember? Quarter past 11, he went, forget about last night. I've already called you daft as a brush. I don't know what else to call you. He says, but today you're playing against the best player in the world, Matthias. So I looked at Bobby Robson, I went, no, I think he is. And I walked off and he's shouting, come back, come back. And I looked behind, he's got his head down shaking his head. He says, what can I do with him? That semi-final, again, I thought, right, just carry on, just playing well. I knew I was up against Matthias. I think it was one of the best games I've played. You know, when I look back to think how close we were when Chris Waddle's hit the post, you know, you look at back and think if that went in or maybe if I had took a penalty, my head wasn't right. But the tears, it was more like, it wasn't just losing the semi-final, but I had such a great time, Coyce. I thought, I honestly, in my head, I thought that's the end of my career over, even though I was just 23, because our fans, they didn't leave with their heads down. They were singing my name. Bobby Robson says, look, you've done well for your country. You've done proud for yourself, your family. That builds up. Then Terry Butcher putting his arm around us. You know, it wasn't a case of selfishness. It's just that. I think I had the best 6 weeks a player could wish for, you know, when you're at school and you're watching World Cups like the 1970s, the 1974s, you know.
I mind it so well because we were obviously there as well for our statutory three games before we came back. We were there for our normal three.
Well, I was here, what do you call a Scotsman in the second round of the World Cup? Ref.
I know.
I've heard it before, but it never ceases to love it. I love it. It never ceases to make me laugh. I believe, obviously, you know, Germany are on to win the final. I think Andries Bremer penalty. I don't have any doubts, guys. I don't have any doubts you'd have beat Argentina in the final. I don't have any doubts, mate.
I shouldn't have a doubt. I mean, the lads, every game we got, you know, we're buzzing. Even, you know, the guys that never got picked to play, even their spirit behind us, you know, and celebrating even after the game, well done. It was phenomenal. I mean, someone like myself, if to say I never got picked, I'd have had the hump or been upset or whatever. But the lads that never played, honestly, their spirit behind us was fantastic. You know, there wasn't any jealousy or anything amongst the squad. There was nothing, you know.
Misshapes, mistakes, misfits. Raised on a diet of broken biscuits.
Following the World Cup heartbreak, Gazza returned to Spurs and the following season led them to the FA Cup final with 6 goals in the competition, including his wonderful free kick to open the scoring against North London rivals Arsenal in the semi-final. Who could forget?
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant! That is schoolboy's own stuff. Oh, I bet even he can't believe it.
But the final itself was to end in heartbreak despite winning his first major trophy, and with a massive, massive move to Lazio already agreed, Gaz ruptured his own cruciate knee ligaments during a rough high foul on Gary Charles in the 15th minute of the game. And instead of climbing the famous Wembley steps to collect his medal, he left the pitch, tragically, on a stretcher.
You know, because honestly, people talk about their dreams of playing the World Cup. Mine wasn't. My dream was to walk up them steps, pick up my medal and, you know, meet the Queen or Lady Diana, what was there. That was my dream. And to score in every game, well, the first one, Blackpool, I set up the goal for Paul Stewart, then I scored in every game. And, you know, I was hyped up before the night before the game anyway, but my dream, I kept on thinking, just get up them steps. That's all I want to do. You know, so many years watching, like, the travelling on the bus, the laughs they had the night before, the build-up, the getting the suit and all that. And I was so determined to win that game, and I just thought, I just want to play, like, probably one of the best games of my life. And I don't even know how I ended up in that position. The last man at the back after, 11 minutes, he touched the ball. I thought he was coming inside, and he went the other way. It was a bad touch by him, probably. And then I've done that challenge. I wasn't the best of challenges anyway. When I got up, I thought, my knee's not too bad, yeah? And so I remember kicking off, and I said to David Howells, just give us the ball quickly. And as he gives it, I've turned, and my knees went. So I get in the dressing room. I was crying. And I can't believe it, 12 minutes I've lasted, and probably one of the biggest, because my dream was to play in the FA Cup final. And I said to the physio, how long is this going to be, a month? And he went, no, 3 months. He went, no. So when I started crying, I went, 6 months. He went, longer. I said, how long? He said, 9 months to be here. And I mean, 3 days later, I was supposed to be signed for Lazio. So I had that on my mind. Contract was fantastic. Couldn't have wished for anything more. I just thought, that's it, it's over with, you know. And then Lazio turned up at the hospital, the chair, the president in that, and the secretary and the translator, and says, look, we still want you. If you get fit again, prove it that you can still play the way you could, then we'll sign you. So that gave me every incentive to get fit again, you know, and I worked so hard.
That's what I was going to say to you guys. A lot of people not involved in sport maybe don't just appreciate some of the dark days that you get through when you've got a long-term injury. Now, I don't have any doubt that you would have had them myself, with a couple of broken legs. You get through moments where you question everything. But knowing the way you come back, you must have clearly put in an unbelievable amount of hard work. But you touched on it there, mate. How did that make you feel when the Lazio officials turned up, looked at you and said, right, come on, get yourself fit. There's still a place here. We still want you.
Well, you know, when you're lying in a hospital bed and you're thinking, oh, my God, I couldn't even move my leg. That gives a massive boost, you know. It wasn't just to play football again. It was to join a massive club like Lazio. And I've seen the fans beforehand. They were so excited to see us. And I just thought, you know, just going to work hard when I get out of here. Obviously, the first couple of months, I couldn't move my knee much, and I obviously had a few tipples, a few cocktails, and I just thought, when I was given the go-ahead, I knew, that's it, put your head down and just go for it and try not be so much scared with your kneecap. And the worst thing is, you know, like people say, how do you train it yourself? Like, when you've had so many operations and you're working just one-on-one with the physio, you know what to do. But watching the guys train and finishing them and laughing, and I'm still there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon working away and getting fit. And I just thought, I'm never going to... You get 1 point after about a few months. I'm thinking, this is not going to work, this, you know? I said, I'm not going to get fit yet. I felt a bit down for a while. But I remember in the hospital when Gary Mabin and the team come in and gives me FA Cup medal, and Lazio, they give us a solid gold watch, right? And they put it aside, and I've got this medal, and I've got this watch, and I've got a contract to look forward for. My mum and dad turns up. I says, no, go on, I'm going for the operation. Just leave. No, we'll wait till you go down. You're asleep for the operation. I went, no, just go. I don't want you to see you like this. No, you're okay. So I goes to sleep. I wakes up, and when I got back to the hospital bed, because my medal had went and the watch. I went, Dad, I think I've been robbed. He says, no, I'm getting the watch stopped, fixed for me arm. So that cheers up. But it was just... Every day, I was like, after training, how can I get myself ready for the next day? Because I pushed myself so hard. And so when I was like 9 months, and I was Friday, because the gaffer says, okay, you train with the team on Monday and you'll be playing the week after. So after me, on the Friday, I went to Newcastle for 2 days and I went nightclubbing with them, my mates and my brother and that. And there must have been a fan in the nightclub. He was obviously must have been upset and he nudged us. And I went, sorry, mate. And he went, you're poor Gascoigne, aren't you? I went, yeah. And he clubbed us right in the jaw. And I fell and broke my kneecap and it went, half my kneecap was the top of my thigh. And I went, oh my God. So I managed the hospital and I rang up. I remember the nurse scared. I says, that's my kneecap there. She went, no, it's not. And I managed to get to the hospital. Mr. Broward did the operation again. Rang Lazio and I said, oh, never mind. We still want you. So again, another 6 months. But that was odd because I had to lie in the city for 3 months and not move my kneecap whatsoever. That was difficult. But I suppose after the first operation and getting fit, after 9 months and working so hard, I thought, right, I can do this one as well. So it was just a matter of just get me head in action again and start working out.
Gazza missed the entire 91-92 season in the end, but finally made his Lazio debut that autumn. Despite never being at his best during his 3 years there, he is still very, very fondly remembered by the fans in Rome. Then, in 1995, his life changed, as did mine, to be quite frank with you, as Walter Smith brought Gaz to Glasgow Rangers.
A light shone in the night, some way ahead.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
A light shone in the night somewhere ahead.
You're listening to Gazza and McCoist together again. I'm Ali McCoist, and recently I sat down with my old mate and good pal Paul Gascoigne to look back on his career. Coming up, we'll talk about being rivals at Euro 96, both missing out in France 98. Still can't believe it. But it's time to talk Rangers. Let me tell you why we're so excited for Gaz coming to Ibrox. It was unbelievable. The whole city, the whole place was absolutely buzzing. And it's fair to say, Gazza looks back at his time there very, very fondly.
People ask me what's the biggest regret in my life regards football-wise, and I think it was leaving Rangers at the time I did. I mean, I was told Abercourt, he wasn't the right man for me, and I didn't know whether to talk to him or drink him. Abercourt. But I remember speaking to Dino Zoff, and I said, what clubs are interested? And he went, Chelsea. I said, I ain't going there. I said, what's the other one? Aston Villa. I said, no. And I thought, well, there's no one. I'm leaving. So he went, Rangers. So I walked out the door. I turned around and I went, I ain't going to Queen's Park Rangers. And he went, Glasgow Rangers. I just slammed the door. I went, get him back. Get him over now, quickly. So I remember Wadler turning up. And he says, let me tell you about the club. I went, no, let me tell you what I've got in the fridge. And I come out with two Budweisers. He went, you're signing, aren't you? He says, right, and when you come, I said, I'll be there straight away. And so he left. I was absolutely buzzing. I mean, I remember meeting the chairman upstairs at the ground and that. And then he went, "Have you seen outside?" And I went, "No, why?" And he says, "Have a look outside." And I just looked outside and I seen all the fans. I mean, my hair was blonde, all theirs was yellow, bless them. But no, that was fantastic. And then obviously seeing the stadium, I don't know why, but I remember the gaffer saying, "You'll ever laugh, you know, be serious when you play, but you'll ever laugh at the lads in the dressing room." And I know I'm quite funny in the dressing room, but I don't think the funniest thing I've ever seen was when I got my teeth done. And you said, "Well," because I went to the reception. I said, "Do you think the guys will recognise them?" She went, "I don't think so." As soon as I walked in the dressing room, I went, "Well, you need an apple through a letterbox." That just ruined us. So I remember I was just leaving the dressing room. I went straight back to the dentist. I'm telling you what now. And before we went there, I went for lunch with my dad. And the woman behind the counter says, I says, "What's the soup of the day?" She went, "Carrot soup." I went, "Don't you effing start."
I'll never forget, I swear to God, I will never forget in my life you walking into that dressing room, walking right out into the middle of the floor, throwing your bag down and smiling at everybody with your new teeth, man. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life in the dressing room, man. And you can remember, we sat up, you and I, we organised a wee table for one in the dressing room. We set up a wee table for two, right? And I was sitting at the table, and it was an imaginary wine bar. And you to come in and chat me up with your new teeth. Well,
I remember that. It was class.
it was ridiculous. Anyway, everybody, mate, talks about 8 in a row. Your performance against Aberdeen was frankly ridiculous, mate. Your performance, particularly second half in the League Cup final against Hearts, ridiculous. Are those special memories for you?
Yeah, because, you know, I'd never won anything in my life. I won personal awards, but as a team and as a squad, I'd never won anything. So, you know, come the 8th row, that was my, you know, I just thought, God, this could be my first league medal. You know, when we won one down, I thought, oh, no, we couldn't even, I didn't want to draw this game. And I just thought, God, we've just got to please just win it. Just my whole scores, just win it, you know. And I remember getting the ball at the edge of the box. And I don't know how I've managed to... I wouldn't have miskicked it, but how I've hit the ball at the roof of the net.
There's Gascoigne now. Can he produce some magic? Still, it's Gascoigne. Oh, yes! A tremendous goal by Gascoigne!
And I thought, right, 1-1, come on. And it was in my mind just to like, set up Coisey, get a goal for us, or what, this and that, you know. And then the second half, and I know there was 10 minutes left, McLaren had the ball. He says, "Come on, Paul." I went, "Don't give it to me, I'm shattered." And he just threw it everything. I went, "Oh, just go." And I just kept on going. And I think you did a run to the side. I think Gordon Jury did. And it left an opening to get in. Once I got in the box, I seen the goalkeeper in the middle of the net. And I just thought, bend it in with me left.
It's been very evenly balanced. Here's Gascoigne now, pushing forward, showing great determination.
I've never felt, get emotional now. I've never felt a feeling like that in my life. Never.
It was amazing, Paul. One of these situations, it was a privilege to be on the park with you, mate. It really was. And I tell the story as well. 5 minutes after it, we got a penalty. And of course, I'm supposed to be on the penalties. And the next minute, you come up to me with the big puppy dog eyes. You know what I mean? Those, please, Coisty, please. And man, I'd have been the most hated man in Ibrox Park if I hadn't given you that ball.
Of course. I said, "Coisty, come on." He said, "No, I'll take the penalties." I said, "Coisty, this could be a hat-trick, man. Please, please." He went, "No, I'll take the penalties." I went, "Come on. Come on," he says, "you said this could be my last game." I went, "Well, if you're leaving, let me have it, man." But when you let us have the penalty, and I normally always go to the other side, and I change my mind and score that.
It's Gascoigne who's going to take this one, and Gascoigne, this is the hat-trick of the championship.
But I didn't know what it was like to win the championship or what it was like in the dressing room, and to see all yous in the dressing room and be amongst such a phenomenal group of players. Was incredible, and seeing everyone dancing and singing and the champagne and the T-shirts. Jimmy Bell must have been coming and get them T-shirts ready already. But and then I thought, right, I want more of this, you know. I've sailed the
wild Atlantic. Listen, of course, I was always going to let him take that penalty. Sure I was. Gazza's hat-trick to seal 8 in a row is still one of the greatest performances I have ever seen at Rangers. It was absolutely unbelievable. We went on to win the double, and later that year we beat Hearts in a classic, absolute classic of a League Cup final. Although Gaz and I, well, we had a bit of falling out, didn't we? It's the that day will live with me, guys. I've still got a fantastic photograph of you and I having a cuddle, and next to it I've got us having the fight at half time, right? And it's magic. And I tell people the story, you were shaking at half time and people don't believe it. You actually went into the boardroom, had a drink, calmed you down, out second half. Unbelievable performance, mate. Happy, happy days. It was an incredible performance from you second half.
And obviously, we had that little bust up in there. It was my fault, really. I should have given it earlier when you made that run. And then you pushed it back in my head, and I thought, right, the second half, I'll play all right now. And the dressing room, when I went, Coach, I couldn't, I was shaking because I was next to you. I thought you were going to whack us. And I'm like, sorry, Coach, sorry, sorry. And then Oxy Dodds went, are you having a drink? I went, no. He says, go and get one. Oh, lovely. So I went in there, obviously, play at the director's box. Had a Trevor Brandy, I thought, oh, that's nice, I might have another one. So, obviously, went on the pitch, and the first goal, I caught that a beauty, I caught it right, I put a lovely bend on it, because he was a tall goalkeeper, I am. It was just one of them games, I thought, I can't do anything wrong here. And I thought, this is going to be the time where I actually get the chance to win a cup final, and actually be there, and not in a hospital like the other one. So, my first two medals like that were the best medals I've ever had. I mean, it was just amazing. And then again, I remember afterwards running at the celebrations and Wallace Smith says, you're going home. And, no, we're celebrating. He went, no, you've already had your drink.
Ah, brilliant memories. Those 3 years with Gaz at Rangers are some of the best of my career. Of that, there is no doubt. But we weren't always teammates during that 3 years. We're going to be talking Euro 96 and that goal at Wembley. Plus, missing out in France 98. Next on Gaz and McCoist, together again. And this part of every Rangers player's dream. You're listening to Gaz and McCoist, together again. I'm Ali McCoist, and recently I sat down with my old teammate and great pal, Paul Gascoigne, to look back on his incredible career. Coming up, we'll be talking about the heartbreak of us both missing out on the World Cup finals in France in 1998, plus what Gaza makes of Gareth Southgate as England's manager, and of course not forgetting he was a teammate of Gaz himself at Euro 96. The tournament didn't start that well for you, I've got to say. A draw against Switzerland, you're obviously under a bit of pressure for your exploits in Hong Kong and Singapore, which had made the headlines. Guys, I'll tell you the story. So you boys were on the front pages of every newspaper going, we're in America laughing our balls off, right? We're in hysterics. you lot are over there and you're on the front page of the papers. So we flew back and we came into Glasgow. And we arrived in Glasgow, and we're just about off the plane. I've turned to Craig Brown, who's our manager, and I says, by the way, this is embarrassing, this. He said, what do you mean? I says, we're going to go off here, and the headlines tomorrow are going to be Scots and sober sensation. You know what I mean?
Brilliant.
You had a slow start to the tournament, but you didn't half take off, mate.
I didn't tell anyone, because my mind is not on the game in the first game. Obviously, I got a lot of stick off you guys in the dressing room. And I remember I couldn't sleep the night before playing years. I went to his room about 10:30 at night, knocked on his door, woke him up, and he said, what's the matter? Sit down. And I says, well, am I playing tomorrow? I've got to play against the guys. I want to play against him. He says, I can't play. And he says, I can't play. And I tears in my eyes, why not? He said, well, look at the first game. And I says, I know, but that was the first game. I was obviously a little bit too nervous or too excited. I don't know. He says, well, I'm thinking of not playing you and I'm going to play somebody else because Scotland are a strong team and that. And I said, oh, no. And it went on for 45 minutes and now I've got tears in my eyes. And he says, I'm sorry, go and go to bed. So as I'm walking out, I'm thinking I'm going to play now. And he went, Gaza. And I turned my head over, what? He went, of course you're playing. You get to sleep. I went, okay, cheers. I'm so excited I couldn't even sleep then.
Guys, I tell people it's stoning me. First half, I thought we did okay. Big Al puts your head, we miss a penalty. And then your own goal, which
is absolutely amazing.
And here's Gascoigne. Brilliant play! Oh! Take a bow for that. And in a minute, it's all gone England's way. Seaman at one end, Gascoigne at the other. An absolute glory for Terry Venables' team.
But I tell people a story, mate, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I remember, obviously, we met up after the tournament. You came into the dressing room, we always did a bit of crack. I tell people, you never really gave us any stick, and you never really mentioned the goal, because I actually think you knew yourself how good that was. I say to people, see if it had been a tap-in, see if the goalie, if Gorham had maybe touched it and you'd knocked it in for half a yard, I think you might have made our lives a misery. But I tell people, I think even you knew how good that goal was and you didn't want to go on about it. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. You know, I knew, because the stick you gave us, and I always remember in my head, I'm thinking, well, you don't know how I play, because I play for Glasgow Rangers, but you don't know what I'm like when I play for England. And it was my first game against Scotland. But, you know, when the ball came to us, I had a quick look, and I can see Colin Henry coming at us. I think if he slowed down, I would have had to bring it down and obviously beat the, both of them. I knew I hardly scored a goal against Andy Gorham in training anyway. But when I've seen him come, I've flicked it over perfect, and I'm thinking, just hit it, because I put myself in a great position, and I was coming to my right foot. And as I've smashed it, it's like dipped as well at the same time. And I've went to celebrate, and honestly, I wanted to look at Andy Gorham and say, oh, stick it up you, you lad. But I didn't, and I knew he'd be raging, but I just did the celebration. And then after the tournament, obviously I had that chance against Germany. I'm actually, when I could have scored, I missed it. I think if it was you or Lineker or Shearer, you just would have scored that.
Trying to get Shearer on the far side, onto the volley. No! Gascoigne went flying in there, and it looked as though it needed, well, it did need just the merest touch.
If he'd have had size 9 boots on instead of 8.5, oh, he'd have scored. Oh.
Did you just hesitate for the last minute? Did... See, I've watched it 100 times as well. Do you just think the goalkeeper might get a touch?
He went for it, I swear. If he had the faintest of touches, I would have scored. Every time I look at it, I think, God, I keep on thinking about my celebration all the time, and I think that would have put us more on the map. But I mean, to be half an inch away from it was incredible. Every time I look at it, I think, wow, if I had scored that, what things would have been different, like win the championship at home. But I remember going on holiday. I'm enjoying my holiday. I've scored that goal, and you know, everyone's praising us again. And a week to go, right? I figured, oh, I've got to get training first. And then it cottoned on. Oh shit! I'm going back to Glasgow Rangers. Yeah, I'm going to get hammered. So I'm thinking I'm going to get hammered. So one of these, I've just stayed quiet. But the other one was like, it's all right. You know, they can't give us any stick for a while, because I knew I'd scored a great goal. And I don't know why, but I just felt once I walked in that dressing room, I had nothing to brag about or whatever. I just felt I was back at home again.
Yeah.
I really did, you know.
Well, do you know something? We felt the exact same, mate. We absolutely felt the exact same. And sometimes, you know what football's like, guys? Time's a great healer. And it's an amazing thing to say it, but honestly, mate, I never get sick of watching that goal. It's one of my best mates scoring it against one of my best mates.
No, I know. I was playing against 7 years, you know. I always remember the time where, obviously, when I did leave Rangers, which I didn't want to. I remember crying halfway down the motorway. And obviously, playing in the cup final game with Middlesbrough, it didn't feel the same. I didn't want to be there. I was still thinking about what yous were up to in the dressing room, the crack, the games you were playing. I kept on looking at your results and that. And then I'm walking out of Wembley, and I can hear one poor Gascoigne, and I'm thinking, that didn't sound English, that. That's Scottish. And I looked, those were 80s in the stands, and I went, oh, cheers, guys. You know, at that moment, I just felt I want to be back where, you know, because I always remember the press saying I wouldn't do well up in Scotland, how tough it was. I used to give Terry Butcher a stick, you're not playing in Scotland. And he always said, all he ever said to me is, every time I met up in England, don't mock it till you tried it. You know, people say it's easy to play for Glasgow, but Rangers, guys, you believe me, it's not, because if I was like playing for Kilmarnock and I'm up against Glasgow Rangers, I want to play the best I can because I want to sign for Glasgow Rangers. So every game that we played was like a cup final for us. Also, they didn't realise, like, remember that time when we I think I set you up, we were playing away or something. You both, me and you, were subs. I was sitting on your back on the touchline and I've two-pointed the ball and you scored. But remember Wallace Smith saying, right then, if we don't win 6-0 today, he's a train on the Sunday. And he was serious, you know, and we did. Remember, he's getting the six or something. I'll two-point today. But the two were laughing on the touchline. I'm thinking, God, how confident we were. But, you know, some games when the gaffer and Archie were needing 3 or 4-0, otherwise they weren't happy. So that's what it was like to play for Rangers, you know.
It's still with me, probably my biggest disappointment and heartache in football was not going to the World Cup 98. And I remember you were in the exact same boat, mate. How much of a disappointment was it?
Mate, it was incredible. I mean, you know, I went, okay, that night we went out and that, I mean, I know this for a fact. I went with Chris Evans and that, and I went back to his house about 11:15. Six of our players were in Soho till 6 a.m. Obviously, they didn't hit the papers. Then when we went to Malaga, the night they were talking about it, now I went to bed with Dave Seaman and Paul Lynch, 11 o'clock. I was told all the lads were, a few of them were, but 6 or 7 of them were up at 5 a.m. playing the piano. And I always remember Walter Smith and Terry Venables saying it was, I think it was Brian Robson as well, look, just be careful, he might want to make a name out of you. And I thought nothing of it. We all lined up like kids, each one of us waiting to go in his bedroom. And I was near the back, so I thought, right, I'm not going to make it. And I seen Glenn Rutter's eyes and tears. I thought, shit. So obviously I broke into his door and said, what's happening? And he said, oh, okay, you're not going. So I remember being on the flight back, there was me, Ian Walker crying, Colin Palmer, I think, we're all crying. And I thought, what am I going to do here? And I know the press are going to be onto this like hound dogs. And I've never seen so much press outside the house I was staying in, staying doors. And then I ring Brian Robson up. I'm thinking, God, what am I going to do? I said, I'm just, that's probably the worst I've ever felt, worse than the operations. And I thought, God, I'm not going to the World Cup. But I've seen a couple of the lads' books, like Beckham's book and Batty's book and the other one, seeing if they might have had a better chance of getting through. In my head, I said, at least I played in one World Cup and I did myself proud. But I remember I eventually had the courage to leave the house. And I remember going to a hotel in London, in England, where by them out. And I brought him the lift and Glenn Hoddle started in the lift.
No.
Yeah, and he's just looked at us.
How was that?
Unbelievable. Glenn Hoddle just looked at us and I just looked at him. He went, sorry, what happened? And I didn't really see anything. But I just got up the next floor and didn't say anything to him, you know. It's only till a few years later when I bumped in again and said, look, it's all forgotten about. I'm one of them, just move on, you know. That was probably the biggest disappointment I've had in my career.
Looking at it, guys, I mean, you played under some brilliant managers, Walter, Jack Charlton, Sir Bobby, Terry. It looks as though Gareth has got a fantastic future ahead of him as well.
Yeah, but I kind of get this question. You really can't. I needed the country to help me. I scored my penalty. Gareth Southgate missed his, right? I've ended up in rehab. He's ended up in the Manners of England and done a 20 grand pizza advert. What did I do wrong? I want my country to tell me, what did I do wrong? I told Gareth that, he just laughed. I find it hard talking about England because I was so proud to play for my country, even though the trouble I put myself in off the field. But, you know, he's got talent there, and as long as they stick together, the players, and there'll be no animosity like we had in the 1990 World Cup and the squad we had in 96. If they stay like that, then we've got potential to go and win a book. We've been seeing this closely, what, since 1966, you know, and Bobby Robson was fantastic in the World Cup because he said, you're only allowed to make a phone call back home, you're not allowed to read any newspapers, and he wouldn't let me watch any TV, English programmes, nothing. Keep away from all that, just concentrate, being a team spirit, and I think rightly so as well, like, you know.
Guys, I'm going to say to you, I'm speaking for everybody. I kind of remember seeing you as well, mate. Brilliant. You look happy. You're vibrant. You're smiling. You're your old self. I'm buzzing. I'm absolutely buzzing speaking to you. What's next for guys? Where are you going next? What are you up to next?
We'll just see what happens, because the lockdown's been not just for me, but for everyone in the country. It's been a nightmare for the last year or so. So, and then I've got maybe a book deal there. I've got a Netflix thing coming out. Just see where it goes from there. But stuff like this keeps me going because, you know what I mean? I like to keep on the move. I hate sitting down. So maybe if everything's okay, do a bit of fly fishing. For me, I've not been back home since February.
Once you get a little bit of time, I'm fly fishing. I'm salmon fishing next week, mate. So you and I'll have 2 or 3 days away and we'll get a bit of fly fishing once everything calms down. How's that sound, my pal?
Yeah, sounds good. I went last week fly fishing and I caught a 6-pound blue bottle.
By the way, I need everybody to know I first heard that in 1995 from you.
But I'm a little now.
It's been absolutely magic. I love
you. Yeah, I'll give you a shout and maybe I'll come up and do some fishing.
Definitely, mate. I love you, bitch. Thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, and thanks for all the support for everyone back in England and Scotland. Yeah, I appreciate it so much. It's good to have a smile back on my face as well.
That was absolutely brilliant. I can't tell you how good that was to see him looking so well in top form and just listening to him tell those stories. I really, really enjoyed that. This has been Gaz and McCoist together again. If you missed any of our conversation, you can hear this show as a podcast on the Game Day feed from TalkSport. And don't forget, all 51 games of this Euros this summer will be live on the TalkSport network.
Tell me quick, boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions, we share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.